Our scripture this morning is Acts chapter 9, beginning with verse 10 through 18. Acts chapter 9, beginning with verse 10. Now there was a disciple at Damascus named Ananias, and the Lord said to him in a vision, Ananias. And he said, Here am I, Lord. Kind of sounds like Isaiah, doesn't it? Who will go for me? Isaiah said, Here am I, send me. And Ananias said, Here am I, Lord. And the Lord said to him, Get up and go to the street called Straight and inquire at the house of Judas for a man from Tarsus named Saul, for he is praying. And he has seen in a vision a man named Ananias come in and lay his hands on him so that he might regain his sight. But Ananias answered, Lord, I have heard from many about this man, how much harm he did to your servants and your saints at Jerusalem. And here is, he has an authority from the chief priest to bind all who call upon your name. But the Lord said to him, Go, for he is a chosen instrument of mine to bear my name before the Gentiles and the kings and the sons of Israel. For I will show him how much he must suffer for my name's sake. So Ananias departed and entered the house, and after laying his hands on him, he said, Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus, who appeared to you on the road by which you were coming, has sent me so that you might regain your sight and be filled with the Holy Ghost. And immediately there fell from his eyes something like scales, and he regained his sight. And he got up and was baptized. Just how much are we aware of the presence of God? You know, each day that we get up, we go about our normal task, whether going to, some of you go to school, you teach, or students, or you go to work, whatever your job may be, as you travel, you know, if you're at home, sitting in an office, whatever you're doing, how much aware are we of the presence of the Lord? There's many different texts or scriptures in the Bible where God's presence was made known to certain individuals. And here, Ananias saw a vision. We have seen where Peter, in Acts chapter 10, the next chapter over, was in Joppa, and he saw a vision and went up on the housetop. The Lord gave him directions. And here we see Ananias was given direction to go to the house of Judas, where a man named Saul was there. And in order for Ananias to do this, he had to be observant. He had to be obedient. And the outcome of that would be something awesome, something different, because he was walking close to God. He was close to God. And the scriptures often say those who walk with God are righteous, upstanding, devout people. And in our day and time today, as we observe and see things and we witness things, we can often tell or often see if a person is close to God. By their actions, by their behavior, by just the things that they say. And you see, it makes a difference in the lives of you and me when we are observant to the presence of God. If we were more observant of the presence of God, how much more would our behavior, our conduct, our actions be, not only in our privacy, but in public? And you see, Ananias was analyzing what God was saying to him, because he was saying, go and meet this man, Saul. And Saul, and Ananias, he had heard about him. And he said, I don't want nothing to do with this man, because he's got a bad reputation. I don't want to be around him. But God said, you know, I met him on the road to Damascus, and he has a different mindset now. He is totally a different person. So you see, Ananias was being observant. And without question, he wanted to question God just a little bit, but then it had to come to the point that either he declined, he said, no, Lord, I'm not going, or yes, I'm going to be obedient. Someone like Jonah. When God spoke to Jonah and said, Jonah, I want you to go to Nineveh. And in Jonah chapter 1, it says, yeah, there was a man named Jonah. God spoke to him. He was in the presence of God. And he said, I want you to go to Nineveh, because the people there are wicked. They need to hear a word from the Lord. And Jonah, what did he do? It says, the scripture said, he went in an opposite direction. He was observant, but he wasn't obedient to the presence of God. And actually, the scripture says that he was going to go away from the presence of God. Now, how in the world do you do that? How do you go away from the presence of God? You can't. And I think Jonah knew this, but he thought he would buy some time, right? I would just go. And he ended up on, he went and bought him a ticket, went down to the depot, bought a ticket to go down to Tarshish, to Joppa, actually where Peter, was when he was called to go to the house of Cornelius. Ended up on a ship. He was observant. He was aware of God's presence, but he didn't want to obey. It wasn't so much he wanted to disobey God, but he didn't want to have anything to do with the people there in Joppa, Tarshish, because they were sinful people. And here he was setting himself up high as someone more holy. But you see, in the event of that, he had a sinful nature because he was disobeying God. If God speaks and he directs and commands us and we do not follow, to us that would be a sin. And to Jonah, it was a sin because he was disobeying God. And he ended up on his ship, and a storm came up. And the sailors, they was praying to their gods. And Jonah was down inside the ship asleep, wasn't he? They come woke him up and said, hey, pray to your God, because, there's something not right. Somebody on this ship has sinned. And they cast lots, and it fell on Jonah. And they said, what are we going to do with you? And he said, just throw me overboard, because I'm being disobedient to my God. And they didn't want to do that, but it came down to whether to save their lives. They threw everything off of the ship as they could find, and yet they were still sinking, and finally they threw Jonah over. And the sea ceased. It was calm again. You see what happens when sometimes we can be disobedient to God? He kind of ruffles the things around us, our environment, our lives, until we observe his presence. And then we're obedient, and then the outcome is even great. And when we look at Ananias, he did exactly what God told him to do. He went and he laid hands on Saul. The Bible says the scales fell from his eyes. He regained his sight. He baptized him. And Saul went on his way. You see how God works in our lives when we're obedient, open to him. And in another area of the Old Testament, the Bible says in 1 Samuel chapter 3 that there was a young man named Samuel. And God spoke to him. He made his presence known to him. And there was a priest there named Eli. And Eli was going about his daily serving of the Lord, but yet his family was disobedient to God. And God wasn't happy about that. And the scriptures even said that God withheld his visions from them. And the messages weren't being sent out as often as they had been because of sin there. So he spoke to a young man named Samuel, and Samuel was obedient. And Samuel said, Lord, whatever it is. And see, Samuel's life had been dedicated to the Lord. So therefore, Hannah was obedient. Samuel was obedient. And God spoke through Samuel and gave them a new vision for the people of Israel. And when we think about how God speaks today in our lives, He can speak through you. He can speak through anyone who is willing to open up their heart and their lives and be observant, obedient, and then the actual outcome will be great. Because, see, when the presence of the Lord is in your life, when God works in your life because you're reading the Word, you're doing everything that you know within the power of God working through you, there's going to be a great outcome in your life. When I look at through the lives of people that God touched over the years, God has chosen people. You know, he gave Saul selection as a key people in a vast program of God. And we might think that Peter or one of the other apostles should have been chosen to minister to Cornelius, as I was talking about a while ago, but not so. See, God called an unknown disciple named Ananias for the task of going to Saul and telling him of his vision. There's a lot of great men in this world that God has used and is using today. John Strawpitz is a man who helped lead Martin Luther to the Lord. John Eglin was instrumental in the conversion of Charles Haddon Spurgeon. And then on down the line, Edward Kimball was just a shoe salesman and a Sunday school teacher. And he led Dwight L. Moody to the Lord. And, of course, we know Dwight L. Moody became one of the greatest evangelists ever known. Then Mordecai Ham was just a little-known evangelist who preached the night that Billy Graham walked the aisle and got saved. You see how just ordinary men over the years who have walked with God, who have listened to God, who has been obedient to God, God did extraordinary things in their life. And when I think about this passage of Scripture and how God wants to work in and through each one of our lives today, how He wants to change each and every one of our lives, and sometimes sin prevents that. Just as an example in Eli's life, and an example of Saul, how he changed their lives. His presence made a difference. When God changes your life, when God comes in your life and searches your heart and changes your life, then great things happen. Many years ago, when as at Northside Baptist Church, Dr. Harold Hunter, who will be coming here April the 10th through the 13th, hold our revival, telling about his experience of witnessing to men that had run from God from all of their lives. He had witnessed to him, and others had witnessed to him. And then some reason or another, because of Dr. Harold Hunter's witness to them, they received Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. And all kind of devastation that had entered into their lives, but because of God's presence in their life, changed their life, God moved in a wonderful way and used these people to share with other people what God had done, and it changed a lot of people in Warren County. I saw where that, you know, people who had never even been in church at all, when the presence of God was made known to them and they became a part of the family of God, started coming to church, I saw how their lives were changed. And the church grew, and it changed the community in such a way that you could feel the presence of God just wherever you went in the city in that time. That was in the 70s. And over the lives and over the years, God's presence is still being made known to each one of us. In our cities, in our towns, God is wanting to make a difference. And he can do it through you, and he can do it through me. And just like Peter, Paul, and Luke, and Matthew, and all of these who God said, will you take up your cross, and will you follow me? And when they was willing to do that, you see, their lives were changed completely forever. And so many times, just like Jonah, when you try to run from God, when you try to get away into your own little closet or go in a different direction than God is wanting you to go, and you see, God says, okay, this is it. This is why I draw the line. And see, it took a few things, obstacles that God placed in Jonah's life to bring him back to the repentance. And then when he did that, it changed. The whole city of Nineveh was saved. See, God's wanting to do a great thing in our own little community. He's wanting to do a great thing in Ripley County. And you know what? It might just come down to a few people. It might come down to Versailles Baptist Church. It might come down just to you. That God is wanting to do a mighty great thing, mighty work. And you see, it comes by our observance of the Holy Spirit. As we read and as we study God's Word, it comes through obedience to the presence of God. And then when that happens, look at the outcome. The outcome will be great. And that's what happened to Nineveh through one man named Jonah, who spent part of his time running from God, but when God finally got his attention, it changed his life completely. And the whole city of Nineveh was saved because of his obedience. First, he had to deserve the presence of the Lord. Secondly, he had to be obedient. And then the outcome was tremendous. It was great. How aware are we of the presence of God in your life each day? Wherever you're going, whatever people you meet, how is God present in that, in your life? Making it known to you of your witness, of what you need to be doing, especially starting now. How much aware are we of the presence of God? As Elijah says, "Behold, I stand in the presence of God." If we was aware that the presence of God was with us every moment, how much we would clean up our thoughts, our minds, our conducts, our even our habits, whatever, because God's presence is in our presence each second, each moment. How much different our life would be if we would just be aware of God's presence every moment of the day. May we pray. Father God, we thank you for your blessings. We thank you. Through your scriptures, we learn a lot. You give us many witnesses, many testimonies of great men. Ordinary people who did extraordinary things for your kingdom. Lord, we thank you this day that your Holy Spirit is real and alive, interacting with us, especially through your word. And as we pray, Lord, I thank you that you give us insights. You show us visions of what you want to do through each one of our lives, through your church. It's not our church, it's your church. The opportunities that you want to provide for each one of us and as a church. Lord, we thank you for the gospel, and as the children this morning saying, "I'm not ashamed of the gospel." Lord, that was the very words that Paul stated, that he wasn't ashamed of the gospel. Lord, help us to be more obedient this year, being willing to share and invite, or just talk to people about Jesus Christ. Lord, I thank you that you give us all opportunities to do that. And Lord, as we leave today, I pray that each one of us will continue to seek your guidance, seek your will through your word, through prayer, through our meditation, and ask for your guidance and help to get out of our comfort zone, to step out and say, "Lord, use me today. Use me to help someone who is struggling. Help me to help someone who needs a lending hand." Lord, I pray this morning that whatever the decisions that needs to be made, whatever decision that you have placed on our hearts this morning, that we'd be willing to say, "Lord, I'm willing to be more observant of the awareness of your presence. I want to be more obedient this year. And Lord, I anticipate a great outcome because of my obedience." Lord, if that's our prayer, Lord, you will bless it. You will honor it. If there's anyone here that doesn't know you personally as Lord and Savior, I pray today that they walk down this aisle and give their heart and life to you. I pray, Lord, that in the stillness of this moment, that each and every one of us will recognize your presence and surrender and yield to your Holy Spirit. In Christ's name I pray. Amen. Our hymn of invitation this morning is 428. I need thee every hour. Let us stand as we sing. I will be here at the front to pray with you, talk with you, whatever God is leading you.